1 John 1:9 doesn't redeem us. We already have that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins and He's faithful and just to forgive us, is there for our intimacy and fellowship. So verse 12, as we forgive others, is all about our spiritual provision while the kingdom is not here. A provision I won't even need once the kingdom comes, because I'll be in a resurrected body without any propensity for sin at all. But as long as I'm in this body, the sin nature is always going to tempt me to be unforgiving. And as I'm unforgiving, my intimacy with God is damaged. One more and we're done. The third request that we are to pray is for divine protection from the devil. Notice verse 13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, Ed Glasscock, in his Matthew commentary, says it's better translated evil one. He says the object from which we are to seek deliverance is evil. More literally, it should be understood as the evil one. The petition of the model prayer, then, is for God to allow us to undergo the testing, but to be rescued from the snare of the evil one, the devil. Now, in the kingdom age, that prayer will no longer be necessary, because where will Satan be? He'll be bound up, he'll be locked up in a place called the abyss. Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3 talks about that. By the way, this chart you might find interesting. This is the sevenfold defeat of the devil. Satan is defeated progressively in the Scripture. First, he's kicked out of heaven in eternity past. Then a prophecy is given about him in Eden, that there's coming one that's going to crush his head. Then he was trying to somehow tamper with the pre-flood gene pool in Genesis 6. I won't get into that one. But the angels, the fallen angels involved in that particular sin, Jesus preached victory over them in between his crucifixion and resurrection. Then Satan is defeated at the cross. Then Satan, I'll be talking about this tomorrow, is defeated at the midpoint of the tribulation when he's cast out of heaven. Then Satan is defeated at the beginning of the millennial kingdom when he's bound. And then at the end of the millennial kingdom, bye-bye Satan, because he's going to be thrown permanently into the lake of fire. So in the kingdom age, Satan will be bound, but I'm not in the kingdom yet, okay? What does that mean? It means that Satan is still running the show in this world, isn't he? That's why he's called the prince of this world, the god of this age, the prince and power of the air. He is the one we wrestle with. He is the roaring lion seeking someone to have tea with. No, doesn't say that. Seeking someone, just got to make sure you're awake. Seeking someone to devour. The whole world lies in his lap. That's the territory that we're living in. And so what do we need? We need divine protection. So what Jesus tells us to pray for here is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Think about this for a minute. Would we even be meeting here in this room if we didn't have divine protection? I mean, there's no way Satan would allow this. So somehow God sovereignly intervenes even in this fallen world and protects his children. Remember what Satan said concerning Job? You put a hedge of protection around him. I can't get to him. And then God lowered the hedge of protection and allowed Satan access to Job for a season. But even then the leash was tight, because he says you can't take his life. But you see, all of these verses teach that we have protection around us. We need protection around us. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has requested permission to sift you like wheat. Why would Satan have to request permission in his world? Because there's divine protection around God's people. So given the reality of the fallen world we live in, we need to pray for this continual divine protection. John 17, verse 15, Jesus says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from who? The evil one. Now, in the kingdom, I won't have to pray this anymore because Satan will be bound. And by the way, you might stone me to death for this, but a lot of people in their prayer life are binding Satan. Satan, I bind you. Satan, I command you. Satan, do this. Satan, do that. Satan, get out of here. Satan, I'm going to give you a black eye and run you out of town, sort of thing. There's not a shred of scripture that tells us to do anything like that. We're not even to converse with Satan. In fact, Eve got in a conversation with Satan, which got us into the problems we're in now. Why would you talk to the father of lies? Why would you speak directly to him? Why would you bind him when the Bible is very clear that Satan will not be bound until when? The millennial kingdom. Satan is not bound today. He's running loose. We're living in his world. And yet we're to pray for divine protection in the midst of this world until the kingdom comes. So what we have in these final clauses are essentially three requests that must be met in the interim while the kingdom is in a state of postponement. We need to pray for our daily bread, which we won't have to pray for once we enter the prosperity of the kingdom. We need to forgive, ask God to forgive us as we forgive others, to restore fellowship with him. Once I'm in my resurrected body in the kingdom, I won't have to pray that one anymore. And then we're to pray for deliverance from the evil one. I won't have to pray that in the kingdom either, because in the kingdom Satan will be bound. So wouldn't you agree that this is a very different way of looking at the disciples' prayer? The ministry of Jesus is not about bringing in the kingdom. It's about praying for the kingdom to come, and it's about the needs that we have until the kingdom comes. So we're to pray for the coming of the kingdom as expressed in the expression, "Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And until the kingdom comes, we have these three basic needs that we need to ask God to meet. Daily bread, forgive us as we forgive others, and deliverance from the evil one. So this is not a Jesus speaking of us bringing in the kingdom. It's a biblically informed prayer life that's built on a premillennial and dispensational understanding. See, the subject of eschatology and dispensationalism and premillennialism, if you understand it right, it properly guides our prayer life. We're not praying amiss any longer, because we're constantly praying outside the will of God. We're praying in his will according to his end time program. Let's pray very quickly. Father, we're grateful for this prayer. We're grateful for allowing us, our minds, to get untangled with cobwebs that have accumulated about this prayer. We ask that we would begin to pray this prayer correctly and accurately. And we thank you, Father, for the promise of the coming kingdom, and we pray for its soon arrival. And we pray for our needs in the interim. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen.